All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is our pleasure to welcome NFL veteran offensive tackle Kelvin Beachum. He is here because he is heading to Zambia with World Vision very soon to help build some water wells. He has already donated two, and he is looking for some support for the third one as well. Kelvin, welcome to the show. You know, some people, they like to give back and they write a check, but you really want to get there and get your hands dirty. What is it about you, like, going there and actually, you know, getting the sweat off your back and helping people physically like that?
You know, I think at the end of the day, anytime I put capital or invest capital anywhere, I want to go see it. You know, if I buy a house, I want to go see that house. I want to live in it. If I buy land, I want to go see it. Same way philanthropically. If I'm putting my dollar somewhere, I want to go see it and make sure that it's doing what we, you know, allocated it for. So excited to be able to go, you know, to Zambia, realize that access to water is something that, you know, many people in that country are struggling with. Like you mentioned, have donated two wells and excited to you know, garner support from fans near and far to be able to fund the third one. But more importantly, it's about access to water. You know, we take it for granted here in America. But just being able to have access to water, just a basic human need, is something that I'm excited to go and impact and be able to go do some sweating on some different soil. So really excited about it.
Pretty amazing. You know, we just had the combine get finished a couple of days ago. And take me back to about 10 years ago when you're coming out of SMU and you're at the combine, and people think, well, maybe you get drafted, maybe you won't. You're a little undersized. So people weren't drooling over you. So how did you stand out?
That's a great question, man. You know, the thing is, you got to get your foot in the door, first and foremost. And you have to show yourself to be valuable. And then once you've shown yourself to be valuable, how do you carve out a niche for yourself? And I think it was, you know, it was about doing the extra work. It was about staying out to practice. It was about coming in early, you know, to be in the building early, to be able to learn from other veterans who've done it at a much higher clip than I did. And then I asked a lot of questions. I was curious. And I think being curious with coaches, being curious with other players, you find out what works, what doesn't work, how to do your job better, how to understand the system better. Why is the system structured like this? Why is the offense structured like this? How do you understand a defense? How do you understand the weaknesses of a defense? How do you attack a defense? And I think I really became a student of the game, and not only a student of the game, but the history behind the game. And I think that really helped me understand where I fit in and how to be able to carve out, you know, a little career for myself. And it's been a fun journey ever since.
No, it really has. I mean, it's very impressive because I would imagine, you know, normally 6'3", 300, you're a big guy, but at tackle, they're like, they're probably saying, no, he's more of an interior lineman. He'll just get swim moved or bum rushed from some edge rusher. How proud are you? It's like you establish yourself not just as an NFL player, but as a tackle.
Yeah, the thing is, I knew I was a tackle. I played left tackle in college. You know, June Jones and Adrian Clem and Dennis and Knight, who were my coaches there at SMU, said that I can play left tackle in the National Football League for a long time. I had the wingspan of a tackle. I just didn't have the upper body torso of a tackle. You know, my femur is actually longer than my spine. So from the lower body down, I look like a tackle. From the lower body up, I don't look the same. So, you know, I had the qualities of playing tackle. I just didn't have all of the measurables to do so. But I knew that if I had an opportunity, I can go out and be able to play with the best of them. And it's been a joy to block some of the best defensive players over the last, you know, decade. You know, in the National Football League, over the left tackle, protecting the blind side, and then also as a right tackle during the last couple of years.
You know, when people, you look at the seventh round and like Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant and he's a playoff quarterback, were you kind of thinking, yeah, there's my seventh round brother right there?
It's special, man. It's special to see, you know, those hidden gems be able to make such an impact and then make it such an impact. You know, in the playoffs, when it matters the most, you know, it was hard to see him get hurt and not finish what he started. But, you know, I was happy. I was smiling ear to ear, realizing that there was another seven-round pick. Because I was five picks away from Mr. Irrelevant. So that could have been me, man. But it was great to see him take on that role and be able to galvanize that team to be able to take them on that national run.
By the way, we're speaking with Kelvin Beachum on behalf of World Vision. I'm from Oakland. I grew up a Raider fan, and I was lucky enough to work on their radio broadcast. Your professional debut, the Steelers, the old enemy in the AFC with the Oakland Raiders, you make your debut against the Raiders. What was that like?
Yeah, it was special, man. It was special. Y'all had some dogs back then. You had Richard Seymour. You had Justin Tuck. You had
Tommy Kelly.
Tommy Kelly. You had Houston. Lamar Houston. Not Justin Houston. Lamar Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had a squad, man. I think Terrell Pryor was the quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Lord.
But it was a squad, man. But getting the opportunity to be able to start out there in the black hole was special.
And then tell me what the thought process was. The Steelers draft you. You end up playing for them. And at the end of your rookie contract, they're trying to keep you around. Did they lowball you? Is that why you said, I'm going to try someplace else?
No, it wasn't that. I mean, I have a lot of love for the Steelers. I have a lot of love for that organization. You know, there was an offer that was on the table. I wanted to be able to come back to the table before I was 30, and that would have locked me in until my mid-30s and wanted something a little shorter. So it just, you know, we weren't able to – it's a business at the end of the day. We just weren't able to be able to meet in the middle. But still had a ton of respect for him. And that same year, I blew my knee out as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, in hindsight, people are like, well, Kelvin, you made the wrong mistake by not signing that, you know, that deal. But I think I grew as an individual. I grew as a man. My family grew. You know, we've had 3 kids in 3 different cities that we've played in. It's been a lot that's happened in a very, very positive way for me. But those experiences and those relationships have been relationships that I still have today. I can still call Mike Tomlin. I can still call Omar or Mr. Rooney or Kevin Colbert or Brandon Hunt or Fish, anybody that's in that particular organization, Gary Guimont, John Norwig. I can call anybody in that organization, and I have a very, very good relationship with them, but it just didn't work out, and it's still been a great relationship to have over the years.
When you got concussions, and I'm a D2 safety from the 80s, and you know, every practice I had a headache, it seemed like, but I remember talking to Bill Romanowski, and he said, you know, I had like 5 documented concussions. He goes, I probably had 20 other ones, and I just think about in the trenches. And you mentioned some of those great defensive tackles and defensive ends and blitz and linebackers you had to pick up. I mean, how are you right now? Are you okay, or do you wonder about CTE, or are you all right?
I'm on top of the world, man. The thing is I think I try to do a really good job of keeping my mind sharp, continuing to push the boundaries of what I can think about. I mentioned curiosity, trying to continue to be curious and be a rookie all over again in many different industries. To keep my mind as sharp as possible. So I really don't allow that type of energy of the concept around CTE to take place kind of in my orbit. But I understand what comes with the game. I've had documented concussions as well. I've been taken off the field in a stretcher, you know, twice in my career, my entire football career, once in high school and then again when I was in Jacksonville. I get it. I understand it. And much like you said, being an offensive lineman, we get hit in the head more than anybody on the football field. But I understand that the ramifications and the consequences that come with playing is a great game. And, you know, I'm willing to deal with some of those things as I continue to pursue the dream of playing in the National Football League for as long as I can, but also being able to build a nest egg for my family. It's not many places in America where you get paid 7 figures to work a couple times a year. I work 17 times a year, in essence, playing only really 5 minutes of football because it's only 7 minutes.
Wow.
7 seconds for each play. So when you really put it into context, I'm really only playing like 10 to 15 minutes a year. Now, there's a lot of other stuff that comes around it, but when you put it in that type of context, I get paid over 7 figures to play 15 minutes a year.
You get paid a lot to stand around, too, in those 4-hour practices.
That's it.
That's what you get paid.
That's it. That's it. You know, so it's like, I mean, I understood what I signed up for, but it's not many places on the planet.
All right.
You can, you know, have that type of adrenaline rush, 80,000 people screaming at you on the road, and the type of adrenaline that you get from playing this game. So it, it, it's some pros and cons to it, but I understand both of those things coming into it.
So I got to ask, next year, who you suiting up for? You got any leaning one way or the other?
We'll see, man. You know, that's what's great about free agency. You never know who these who will come out the gate swinging. You know, everybody says they like, you know, I like you. I love you. We'll see what your pocketbook says, you know. So we'll see how things play out. You know, one of the things that I'm optimizing for is, you know, I always wanted to play on grass. It's always good for you. I played on turf before, but if it was a preference, we'd love to play on grass. And then, you know, I understand that, you know, I also have a family, so we have to figure out, you know, what that particular dynamic would be like. But my wife has already said she's not moving anywhere else. So I just got to find a way to be in a hotel somewhere else and figure it out, or stay here in Arizona. So we'll find out here over the next week or so.
All right. Before we let you go, I mentioned World Vision. You're getting ready to go to Africa to build water wells in Zambia. How can people help out, be a part of it?
Man, we have a nice matching campaign that's going on online right now. Just check out, you know, any of my social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm talking about it. It's in the bio. You know, whatever you choose to do. And even if it's just praying for me as I go over there, we'll be more than happy to have any type of support from the fans.
Twitter, Kelvin Beecham Jr., Instagram, kelvin.beecham.jr., Facebook, Kelvin Beecham Official, LinkedIn, KB2SMU. Hey, man, it's amazing work that you're doing. You've been doing a lot of charity work over your career. Looking forward to your new challenge as well. We've been speaking with Kelvin Beecham. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Thanks for having me.